Fullness and talking to Margaret about that. She does have a lot of, she has had in the past a lot of, almost, you hear her say in the past, she's had a lot of pain in her feet and legs and stuff. And I've been very concerned about her lately. But I believe God can touch her, and I believe he did touch her. We're going to trust it, that her feet and legs will get a whole lot better. Well, praise the Lord. Like I said, I asked you for prayer for Etta. We went and seen her Friday and at the hospital. And the trooper that Margaret is, we had to walk all the way to the other end of the hospital, all the way down to the other very far end to get to Etta's room. And she trudged on down through there, you know, and I knew it was bothering her a lot. But keep Etta in your prayers because, you know, Etta's 84 years old, and they're wanting her to get up and walk a lot. And if you remember, she was having a little trouble walking just before she even went in the hospital. And Margaret reminded her of that and said, well, you know, Etta, you weren't walking real great before you came in here, so, you know. But I kept telling her, I said, well, you know, Ed, I want you to just start telling the Lord, you are my strength, you know. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And, you know, she's hanging in there. She's doing better. She's had a couple ups and downs since she's been in there. Her nose started bleeding the other day, and they put her back in ICU for a while. Then she's out of ICU now, and they're starting to do the rehab again. And she was her blood pressure got real low when she was bleeding from her nose, and they were going to give her a transfusion while we were there. So you know they are giving her some blood, and she said, "I don't know if I want anybody else's blood in me." I told her, I said, "You'll be okay. Just take the blood. It'll make you feel better." You know. But, you know, she's doing okay, and just keep her in your prayers. And she wants to get back into church. She tells me that every time I talk to her about wanting to get back into church and everything, and that she misses everybody. And isn't it wonderful when people love to come to church, you know? I mean, you know, a lot of countries you can't even go to church, you know. And we're blessed in America to where you can come to church as often as you want to. And worship however you feel like the Lord would have you worship. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that during Kathy's prayer back in Sunday school, she prayed most of my sermon. Some of the songs we sang had to do with my sermon. And Lord, you confirm your word out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I just trust in you, and I'd ask you to just send this word forth, let it minister to people's hearts exactly who you want it to, and we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title to my sermon today is Expected End. And what do you expect? And, you know, this Mike tells me this is his favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. And you know, I love that scripture too. But I'm going to read it to you out of Jeremiah 29:11-14. And in verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And you know, when God's going to give you an expected end, guess whose expectations it's going to live up to? His. Now, what we need to do is start expecting his expectations to come to pass. And you know, if you look up the word hope in script, in you know, the original Greek and stuff, you will find that it has the meaning of to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And that's what expectancy is, anticipating things. And when you come in here, you should anticipate that the Lord's going to speak a word that will just meet a need that you have today, that will encourage you or that will strengthen you or whatever you happen to need, and have an expectation that He's going to meet that need. And I believe when you have that expectation, He will meet that expectation. But anyway, I'll read it again. He says, "For I know the thoughts I have, the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Praise God. You know, when I pulled up that scripture and was looking at it, then the next thing that the Lord gave me is He gave me the words to a song. "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name." And you know, once we've put our hand to the plow, there's no turning back. And you know, I remember when some of the disciples went away from Jesus because He had massive crowds, and He began to teach some of the harder sayings, and they began to go away. And I remember Him saying to Peter and them, "Will you go also?" And Peter looked at Him and he said, "Lord, where can we go? You have the words of life, you know." And I'm going to tell you what, when people put their hand to the plow and they look back, or they try to go back to where they were at one time, it don't work very well. And you're going to find out that you're not going to be in the place where God wants you, and you're going to be very, very out of sorts, and things will start going awry in your life. That's just the way it works. You know, you ever seen back years ago when it talks about putting your hands to the plow? Years ago, they plowed with oxen and with donkeys and things like that. And you know, when you were plowing back then, you had to look straight forward constantly, because if you didn't, that plow would go over here and over there and everywhere. You had to look straight forward and hold that plow right straight in line with what you were looking at. So He's saying, when you put your hand to the plow, there's no turning back. You can't look back. And you know, you have to look and keep your eye on the prize. And the prize is the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's the prize. Sooner or later, we must come to a conclusion that when we give our attention to our outer possessions, they begin to possess us. When you start worrying about all the possessions that you have and you start placing them in too much of a high esteem, what ends up happening there is that you don't possess the possessions, they possess you. And you know, those things will begin to actually pull you away from the Lord a lot of times. They'll pull you away from being obedient and doing the things that He asks you to do and going to the places He tells you to go and everything else. And I've got written down here, sooner or later we must come to the conclusion that when we give our attention to our outer possessions, they begin to possess us. And that's why Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, the true treasure in God is Christ Himself. You know, He talked to Abraham one time, and He told Abraham, "I am," and we talked about "I am" for weeks here, off and on, "I am thy exceeding great reward." He didn't say going to heaven. He didn't say something else. He said, "I am," present tense now, right now, "I am your exceeding great reward." And that exceeding great reward is Christ in you, His presence in your life, Him leading and directing you on a daily basis. And any time that you allow anything else to begin to be the main focus in your life, if the main focus begins to be making money or obtaining things or going places, and that's just all you can think about, I'm telling you what, you're getting your hand off the plow. You're turning and looking in the wrong direction. And we need to just keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Ask Him on a daily basis, Lord, what would You have me do today? Who would You have me talk to today? Or so on and so forth. And as you do that, I believe He'll open up opportunities for you to minister a word of life to the people that He wants you to minister to, or to just be an encouragement to somebody, or just to show them the love of God, or whatever He wants you to do. You know, the Lord gave me a poem years ago about treasure, and it was called Heavenly Treasure. And here's the poem that He gave me. It says, "There is a treasure that's given to man that not many of us seem to know. It's the treasure of peace and contentment, where in stillness the Spirit does show. The things that the Father has given that are truly ours to possess, the love, the joy, the health, the peace, and even the spirit of rest. These are truly pearls of great value and the rubies beyond compare. They're the emeralds of His kingdom, and they're yours if you'll only but dare. To simply take Him at His word, by His Spirit learn to live. These treasures that He'll give you, only He can give." And you know, people are out there, and Mark was even talking when he was up here, it's kind of funny because a lot of these things are falling right in place. He was talking about it, people, the wealthy people, and the wealthy people, they struggle sometimes more than you do, because they're trying to hang on with both hands and 2 feet and everything else to what they've got. And their whole life consists in those possessions. They don't possess the possessions possess them. You know, in Ephesians 5:14, and this is where I believe God's kind of got us all right now, and here's what He's saying is to it. "Therefore He saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give you light." And you know, Jesus made a funny statement one time. One of His disciples said to Him, "Suffer for me to go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." And that was kind of a, you know, hard saying. But what He was really saying, He said, "Come and follow me." Because He was the way, the truth, and the life. And what He was really saying is that they're already dead if they don't know me, because they don't know life, you know. And really, to be honest with you, we have to follow Him on that daily basis and have to trust in Him on that daily basis. And when we do that, He will give us the light of life. And in Psalm 17:15, King David said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." Now, I'm going to tell you what, you can try to seek satisfaction in a lot of different things in your life. And, you know, I over the years, I've had a few new cars, and, you know, I was kind of satisfied when I first got them, other than worrying about making the payment. But I thought, boy, what a nice car, you know. And you know what? Pretty soon that car started leaking oil, or it got scratches on it, it got a dent in it, or it needed new tires, or it needed this, or it needed that. That satisfaction didn't last very long. It lasted a very short time. And that's the way things are. Things are never going to be satisfying in that sense, you know. But, and in 1 John, and this was quoted in Sunday school back there a little bit, and maybe a little bit out here, in 1 John 3:1-3, it says, and this is out of the King James, and I've quoted this many times, "Behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Don't be surprised when the world doesn't pat you on the back and say, "Boy, I'm glad you're a Christian and you're here," because they're not going to. you're going to get everything but that usually from the world. It says, but beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the word appear there is, I believe it's the word parousia. When his parousia, his presence is there, we're going to be just like him. And, you know, I put an equal here, an equal sign, and it says, we only know that if reality, and this is out of the J.B. Phillips, we only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect his likeness, for we should see him as he really is. Okay? And then it says, back to King James, it says, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And you know where the real purification comes from is you staying in relationship with him. He's the one that does the purifying. You know, in the scriptures it talks about he would come as a refiner's fire and as fuller's soap to thoroughly purge the sons of Levi, it said. We were talking about Levi back there in Sunday school. And, you know, literally what he was saying is he was saying, I'm going to bring the priesthood into a special place. I'm going to be the one that purges them. But don't think it's a strange thing when you find yourself in the midst of fire or you find yourself in the midst of, well, fuller soap. I'm not exactly sure what fuller soap is, but I have a feeling that it's probably sort of like lye soap. People used to wash their stuff in lye soap. And, you know, lye is very caustic and it's very, very strong, you know. But I'm going to tell you what. He'll come to you as a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Well, when he comes to you as a refiner's fire, don't be surprised when the heat gets turned up. And when the heat gets turned up, don't be surprised when some dross comes to the top. Because that's what happens in refining. You know, what they do a lot of times, and I read this one time even about silver. You know, silver is significant of redemption. And when they purify silver, I've actually read where they say you can tell that the silver is really purified, that all the impurities have been burned off, when you look into the silver and you can see yourself. So when you look into the redemption of Christ and you see yourself there constantly, then you're not very far away from being totally refined. And I'm going to tell you, he does the refining. He's the fire. You know, we have to realize that he knows exactly what he's doing and that he's the one that does the purifying. And he's the one that will purify you. And then this will go along with a lot of the songs that we were singing this morning and a lot of the things that were said and part of what Kathy's prayer was this morning. Psalm 57, 7 through 11. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. And she prayed back there about the glory of God. You know, for those that were back there. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And I'm going to tell you what, I've got written down here, the thought ideal of opening our eyes to when he says to wake up. To wake. And you know, in Genesis, when God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took Eve out of Adam, you know, what the scriptures say, it never said he woke him up. It never did say he woke him up. And I think mankind is still asleep, a lot of them. And I'm going to tell you what, it's time for us as being Christians to awake, to ask the Lord to wake us up every day to the realities of God. to the mercies of God, the love of God, to the surplus of God, even, you know, to believe the surplus is going to begin to happen. And, you know, what does it mean when he says, awake to my glory? Okay? He's wanting us to wake up to his glory. Now, you know, in Romans 8:18, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes. Now, a lot of people are waiting for the glory to be revealed to them. But I got news for you. He wants to reveal the glory in you. Because Christ in you is the hope of what?
Glory.
Okay? Don't look for it out there. Look for it in here. And when his glory is revealed in you, then don't be surprised when all of a sudden what begins to happen is people begin to do like on the Mount of Transfiguration, when all of a sudden their eyes were opened and they saw the glory of God coming out of Jesus. And they saw his raiment as white, like wool, you know, just very glorious. I can't even explain how glorious it was. But they saw that coming out of the inside of him, you know. And you know, it goes on and it says down here, the next scripture, you know, in John 17:21-22, it says, and this was Jesus' high priestly prayer, and I believe that this prayer is what he prayed, and this is what, when Jesus prays something, it comes to be. It says, he said, that they might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And in verse 22, I love this verse, he said, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given it unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And I want you to know, he said one time, he said, I'll not give my glory to another, but you're not another. You're a part of him, you're a part of the body of Christ, you were born of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You know, when the Holy Spirit looks at you, the Holy Spirit looks at you as, that's my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, that's the way God sees you. He doesn't see you as a dirty, rotten sinner. He doesn't see you as somebody that failed yesterday. He sees you as someone that he has redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and that you've been set free to walk in the glorious liberty of being a son of God. And you know, we have to realize, folks, that we're in a day and an hour when right now there's a lot of pressure out there. People are talking about inflation and gas prices and all this kind of stuff. And we could be worrying ourselves sick about these things. But I'm going to tell you what, we don't have to worry about anything because our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And he has promised to supply all of your needs according to his riches in what? Glory. And guess what? You're rich with his glory. His glory is inside of you, and he will meet all of your needs if you'll just trust him. And I'm going to tell you what, he will cause you to prosper. Even what brother was saying over there about that truck, he didn't want that truck. But God made a way for him to not have to take the truck. Now, you know, God will make a way where there is no way a lot of times. And a lot of times, if we'll just hang on a few minutes and let him work and not get too anxious to jump out in front of him in something, we'll find out that he will work things out. And, you know, I've heard different people mention Rich's sermon he preached a few years ago about where he basically was saying, God says, I got this, you know, and he does have this. He has it in every situation in our lives, and we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. Yes. You know what? Sometimes when people email me, they have to get about three of them before I answer at times. I'm kind of bad about that sometimes. If I get a text message, somebody will say, "Didn't you read my text?" I said, well, I think I saw it, you know. I kind of hang back a little bit in things, but I hang back until I know what I'm supposed to do, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes don't be so quick to answer everything that everybody wants you to do, because sometimes you need to talk to God about it first, and you need to say, now, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? Yeah, go ahead. Hey, let me come down here, Clyde.
Made with mercy, formed by grace.
Oh, yeah.
He has made me to sit in high places.
Yes.
I found my place.
Yeah, it goes clothed in favor. I found my place. Yeah. He won't let me forget. He has made me to sit in high places. Yeah, yeah, I love that song.
Made with mercy,
formed by grace. Yeah. Anybody else? I tell you what, if nobody else has got anything, that'd be a good thing for us to sing. Joe, you know that song, don't you? I'll start it for you. We just need somebody who can sing better than me. I don't sing too good. Made with mercy, formed by grace, clothed in favor, I found my place. He won't let me forget. He has made me to sit in high places. Made with mercy, formed by grace. Great song. And you know that's a true word too. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody's got anything else they want to say or add, please feel free. But you know what? We have to come to realize, folks, just like I read that Jeremiah 29:11-14, and I'm going to read that one more time. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I'm going to tell you what. The day you search for him with all your heart, you're going to find him, because he's already there. That's where he's at. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that even this little word I've shared here today, that we don't need to let our possessions possess us, but we need to just know that you are our source. You are our healing. You are our financial source. You're everything that we need. And we don't need anything but you, and if we'll trust in you, you've promised to supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a time when Elijah was sent to the woman down at Zarephath, and Elijah was sitting by a creek that was running, and ravens were feeding him. There was a drought in the land, and there was just about no food, but guess what? God sent the ravens to feed him. And the creek started to dry up. And when the creek started to dry up, Elijah talked to God, and God told him, he said, go down to Zarephath. And he said, I've spoken to a woman down there to sustain you. And I'm going to tell you what, when God tells you to go to Zarephath or wherever he tells you to go, go. And he went down there, and he seen this woman. And she had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and that's all she had. It says a cruse, and you know, that sounds like something big. But if you look at the translation, it's a saucer, a little saucer of oil she had. And she had maybe a handful of meal. And he told the woman, he said, you know, give me something to eat. And she says, oh, I just have a little handful of meal here and a little bit of oil. And he said, she said, I was going to bake a cake so me and my son could eat it and die. Now, that's how bad a shape they was in. But you know what? The Lord had him say to her, verily I say unto you, if you make me a cake first, the meal barrel will not run dry and the oil won't run dry. And you know what? It didn't. It didn't. And I'm going to tell you what, we don't need to worry about the things that are happening out there in the world. We don't need to worry about the high inflation or the this or the political things or any of this other bull crap that's going on out there. We just need to trust God,
know that he's got it all in control, and just trust him and follow him, you know. And if we'll do that, I'm going to tell you what, he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And he's mighty rich, and he's got a lot of glory. But that glory's inside of you, too. And it's going to break forth, because he said, the glory you've given me, I've given it to them. But he did say, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. What was that glory? He was God himself. But yet he gave us the glory of being a son of God. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I ask you to just help us all to enter into that place of rest and peace in you, to where we just trust you and we don't worry about what's going on out there in the world, but we just trust you and know that you got it all in control. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you to bless your people as they go forth, and I just thank you, Father. And I thank you for the testimonies. I thank you for touching Kenny, Father, and for just raising him back up, Father. Let him be a testimony to you wherever he goes and tell people of the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for I believe you touched Margaret today. I'm just believing that you've touched her feet, and they're going to get, I might go home. And Margaret used to be a good dancer. I never was a dancer. I never could figure out why she married me. I couldn't dance. I mean, I'm not a dancer. I told her, maybe you could teach me how to dance, and she never was willing to do that. I guess she was afraid I was going to step on her feet or something. I don't know. But she was a real good dancer. Her and her brother Johnny used to, when they were kids, used to enter dance contests, and they'd win. They were pretty good dancers. But I'm just going to believe that God will put a little dance back in her footsteps, okay? In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. I give you the praise and the glory for all that you do. You alone are worthy of it all. Amen. God bless you all, folks. Love you.